Those of us who are parents would perhaps well remember the following scenario. You're talking to your child about something that's important, something that you want to make sure they hear and heed. And so you say to them, look at me while I'm talking to you. You remember that? You remember this, parents? Perhaps as children, we remember. And you say this because, as a parent, you know that when your child is looking at you, there's a better chance that he or she is engaged in what you're saying, and that your words are getting through. This is why you would say this not only when you're scolding your child, but also when you're telling them something they really need to hear, something that's in their best interest, if you will. And this happens because face to face, eye contact is an essential part of communication. Truth be told, many studies have been done that show babies thrive when they receive lots of eye contact from their primary caregivers, and that babies who do not receive eye contact do not develop quite as quickly. We see this also when two people love each other. What do they do? They don't just look at each other for a quick minute. They gaze into each other's eyes, sometimes all day long. It's the same thing with married couples. Now, the flip side of this can be seen in a story of a wife who was going through a divorce at that time and talking with her pastor, commenting, saying, I knew there was a problem when she realized that her husband stopped looking at her, not even during conversation. Eye contact is important, not only between friends and not only between married couples and not only between parents and their children, but there is also a sense in which we also need to maintain spiritual eye contact with our Heavenly Father. It could very well be, beloved, that God would say to each of us, look at me while I'm talking to you. I want to submit to you that when you and I seek God's face, as the text so readily states, when we seek God's face just for the sake of knowing him, your life and my life becomes more meaningful, more alive, more joyful. And I'm wondering, could it be, beloved, that seeking God is the way to discover our heart's true desire? Could it be? What does it mean to really seek God in your life? And how do we go about doing it? For the rest of our time, we'll answer these two questions. Most people, it's important to observe, are driven to seek God because of a need or a void that's in their life for whatever reason. I've known people, and perhaps you have too, who achieved great success and have accumulated significant wealth, and yet they find themselves empty, perhaps even wondering, is this all there is? The writer of Ecclesiastes supports this happening in our lives. Vanity, vanity, he would say. There has to be more to life than this. It's at this point that many people are driven to God. Others are driven to seek God because of a crisis, because they find themselves on the brink, sometimes over the edge of disaster. King Jehoshaphat was minding his own business, striving to lead the nation of Israel with integrity. Suddenly, he got news from three nations, the armies of three nations that had joined forces with the single purpose of taking him out and taking over his country. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 3. 2 Chronicles and chapter 20 and verse 3, the Bible says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. Sometimes, church, trouble gets our attention in such a way that it causes us to turn our attention towards seeking God. Whatever it is that drives a person to see God, whether it's a desire for something more, whether it's fear, frustration, disappointment, despair, discouragement, God is pleased whenever you and I turn our eyes to seek him. I further submit that your search for God, your search for more of God, will not and cannot end in vain. Amen, church. The record is clear in Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and understand that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 29. But if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him, or when you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. God is saying that when we seek him with an I mean business attitude, our search will not be in vain. We will find him. Have you ever thought about what an amazing experience that would be? To find God? To know God personally? Not just know about him. Not just to know some of the stories in his book. But to know him. To sense his presence, to hear his voice, even to feel the comfort and warmth of his embrace. Can you imagine how that would be? This, beloved, this is what God wants for every man. From every woman, from every child on planet Earth. It's what God wants from every person here today. And it's here for the asking of each and every person. If you will seek his face. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, the Bible says, God will hear from heaven. God will forgive their sins. God will heal our land. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Now, what does it mean to seek God's face? When we talk about seeking the face of God, beloved, we are actually implying, suggesting, saying, we're seeking his presence. We're talking about a one-on-one, alone, together, in the same room, communion with God. Seeking God's face means acknowledging his presence. Have you ever been with a group of people and they're talking to one another and you're right there with them, but they don't acknowledge you? You say something and it's like nobody said anything. Have you ever experienced that? Happens to me a lot. Could it be that we tend to do the same thing with God? We go about our daily lives, our work lives, our school lives, our church lives, our ministry lives, as if God is not even there. God wants more than a Sunday morning. From his people. even wants more than obedience. He wants our devotion. He wants our hearts. And believe it or not, God wants our company, church. God wants you to look at him while he is talking to you. Right here is where the journey to a deeper spiritual life begins. Turning your eyes towards God, acknowledging his presence, focusing on his presence. Well, now, how do we turn our eyes towards God in order to seek his face? Let's list as many things as we can that will help you and I to seek the face of God, that will enable, empower us to experience more and more of God's presence in our lives. First thing, cling and cleave daily. Cling and cleave daily. This is the most important thing I'm going to suggest to you today. It's about putting God front and center in everything that you do. You remember, can I talk to parents again, please? The first time you dropped your young child at the babysitter, or perhaps you and your husband or you and your spouse was going out for a date night, do you remember how the child reacted? Do you remember the child's reaction? When they realized they were going to be left behind, you wanted to give them a hug and a kiss goodbye, but they clung to your leg. As a matter of fact, they bear hug your leg, begging you not to leave. It was heartbreaking, right? But it was also eye-opening, because you realize how desperately your child needs you and wants you. And then, of course, by the time you get to about the fifth or the sixth or the seventh time you drop them off, they say goodbye with a hand wave and grab a toy or start playing with some of the children they will be spending some time with. And then sometimes when you come back several hours later, you get the sense they didn't even realize that you were gone. Another eye-opening experience. And I wonder right here if we could talk for a minute. Can you and I learn to cling to God with that same desperation that a child feels on their first visit to daycare? That same level of intensity, that same attitude that says, I can't let you go. I don't want to let you out of my sight. In the book of Genesis, you well remember when God was talking about marriage in Genesis chapter 2, he would say that a man ought to leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife. The word cleave is the same root word for glue. Husbands and wives are to stick to one another forever. In Psalm 63 and verse 8, a verse we studied several weeks ago, where the Bible says, my soul follows hard after God. Some versions say, my soul clings to God. That's the same word cleave back in Genesis 2. It means, and it's described, it means glue. And it's describing your and my relationship with God. We need to cling. We need to cling to our Heavenly Father to acknowledge His presence throughout every day. That means you and I are always aware of how aware we are of His presence at every moment. And when you feel like you've moved away, we need to reach out, wrap our arms around Him, and hold on tight. Sometimes, if you're like me, during the day, you just might venture, of course. But there are a couple of things you can do to help ourselves be where we need to be. Start a conversation with Him every morning before we do anything else. As a habit. Start a conversation with God before we do anything else as a habit. At the close of the day, acknowledge His presence just before the minutes you feel yourself drifting off to sleep. Don't wait till you start drifting. It might be a little bit, you might get a little wary. As a habit. So you don't have to think about it. It becomes a part of who you are. Maybe today was not a perfect day. You made more mistakes than you can count. And you forgot to acknowledge His presence more times than you care to count. But it's not too late to cling and cleave. As you began the day, you said, God, I need Your presence in my life. That's our opening conversation. God, I need Your presence in my life. You can end the day the same way and give thanks to God that in spite of myself, He was there. He is there. And for that, I'm so grateful. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that wherever I go, You are with me. Thank You, Lord. What will happen is, when you form those two habits that sandwich your day, in time, the gap between morning and evening will start closing. And you will find yourself clinging and cleaving all day long. Cling and cleave daily. Let me further suggest praise and appreciation. Praise and appreciation. Praise and appreciation. In Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name. Come into the presence of God with a spirit or an attitude of gratitude. Let me offer some help. I know, let me remind you then. Forget for a few moments all the good reasons you have to complain. Instead, think back on every good thing that has ever happened to you. Every blessing, every success, every pleasurable experience. And take a few moments to acknowledge the source behind it all. Take a moment to say, thank you, Lord. Take a moment to say, glory, glory, glory. To God be the glory for all the things God has done for me. Sometimes, or in many times, even without me asking, He brings us through. He watches over us. He delivers us. Oh, no, on and on I could go. Seeking His face means you stop for a few moments talking about me, and make our prayers more about God. Oh, God, You're so good. I never experienced good until I met You. You're so gracious. Before I understand what my need is, You provided for me. You're worthy. And if You never do another good thing in my life, Your goodness just for today is more than I can ever deserve. I just want to spend these few moments in Your presence saying, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your name, sweet Jesus. And I give You every praise. Seeking God's face means making every day about thanksgiving. I want to say, thanksgiving moves, graduates to thanks living or thanks doing. When thanksgiving moves to thank doing, now gratitude appears on the scene. Amen. Gratitude. Can we talk about it for a minute? Gratitude is thanksgiving plus. Hello? Gratitude is not just that you feel it. Amen. Gratitude is that you show it. It's not just an emotion. It's also an expression. When gratitude is not expressed, it's not gratitude. It could very well be just thanksgiving. The best expressions of gratitude. Let me talk about this for a minute. Because my wife just taught me some things that started a deeper search into this thing. The best expressions of gratitude are a little over the top. It's saying thank you with flair, style, originality. In Genesis 12, at verse number 2, God telling Abraham where he needs to go. Verse 2, He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Did you get that? When we are blessed, we pass it on to any and everybody around the blessing. Hello. We give others the opportunity, the same opportunity that we have received, the same blessing that we have received. We give others the opportunity to feel appreciated, valued, and blessed just like we have. Gratitude is thanksgiving plus. And when we come into the presence of God, we ought to come wanting to pass on the blessing of being able to come. I wish I could teach that. Anyhow, let's talk about the witness of God. Cling and cleave daily. Number two, praise and appreciation. Number next, through the witness of God. Wait for me at John 5 and verse 39. John 5 verse 39, wait for me. Spending time with God each day. This is what we're talking about. This is what we make reference to when we talk about seeking God's face through the witness of the word. And in spending time with the word of God every day, let's get one thing straight. Or let's make one thing clearer. Our relationship is not with the word of God. Our relationship is with our Heavenly Father, who is God. And we encounter him within the pages of inspiration. To encounter means to experience, to engage in such a way where God occupies our full heart attention. I said when God occupies our full heart attention. In John 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures, Jesus would say, for in them you think you have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And they are they which testify. See that word testify? Underline it. Some versions use the word witness. For they are they which witness of me. In addition, church, to all of the commands that the Bible, the word of God states, to be holy, to be obedient, to love one another, it's in or through the scriptures that we discover the true nature, the true character of God. Through scripture, we can come to know God when we hear and do what the scripture says. Not just know about him, but to know him personally. So I say to you, open your Bible every day, each day. And when you do so, open it with the intent of more than just to learn, but with the intent of a one-on-one with the intent of a one-on-one experience with God. I'm going to close. I'm going to begin closing right here. There's more. We'll deal with that Wednesday. Come back if you can. Now, just these three things will help us in the process of seeking God. Please, 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 please remember as I close. Seeking God begins with making and maintaining eye contact with our Heavenly Father. Day in, day out, and all throughout the day, you turn your eyes toward God and you acknowledge His presence in your life. God is not far away. Seeking God does not mean that we go looking for Him, because He's with us. He is in us. In Psalm 121 and verse 5, Psalm 121 verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Bible says, some versions say, the Lord is our keeper. Then it says, His shade is at our right hand. Do you know what that means? What does that mean, preacher? I'm glad you asked. God's eyes are turned forever toward us already. And all He's asking now, is that you and I turn our eyes towards Him, to acknowledge His presence, to pay attention as He speaks, to keep Him front center throughout each day. Let me put it this way. Psalm 27 verse 8. My heart says of you, seek your face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Are you listening? Here's your assignment. Make Psalm 27 verse 8 your daily prayer this week. Make Psalm 27 and verse 8 your daily prayer this week. And so if you're here today, with a little increase in your knowledge about what God wants from each one of us, and knowing that He wants all of us, He wants from all of us to turn our eyes towards Him. Let me appeal to any in our virtual audience. If you have not yet believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're praying that what you have heard today is sufficient to move you closer to wanting to believe, and to do so with all of your heart, so that you are willing to repent. Repent just means to change your mind about everything in your life up till this point, and let it be reflected in the way that you live from this point forward. Be willing to confess Christ with the mouth that He is who He says He is, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, be baptized into Christ. 4,000 was baptized on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter made the appeal, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, now takes up residence in you upon being baptized into Christ, based on your faith in Christ being the Son of God. And now, the presence of God is not just all over, universal. Now, he takes up residence inside of you by the presence of his Holy Spirit. We pray that you will ponder the invitation wholeheartedly. Yours truly, and others, stand ready to assist you in becoming a disciple, a follower, a learner of Jesus Christ. And if you are already a part of the body of Christ, can I urge you, please? Can I appeal to you, please? Cling and cleave daily. Cling and cleave daily. Don't miss days. If you can, don't miss days. Saturate every day with praise, with gratitude, with appreciation for what you received of God by passing it on to others. Don't just thanks give. Thanks live. Thanks live.
Yeah.
Thanks live.
Yeah.
And then open the Bible every day to meet with God, to experience God, to experience the presence of God. Can I? Oh my goodness. I know I'm out of time. The presence of God is not just something we talk about. It's something we experience, church. And when we experience the presence of God, our lives take on a whole new dimension that we never had before. Mm. God begins to use us. Come on, church. The things we fought before, they start falling away. The things we chase begin to disappear because we have a new focus. And that focus is the presence of the living God, Almighty God. I would to God that the new Maywood Church not let another day go by without experiencing the presence of God. Maintain eye contact with our Heavenly Father. Hear God saying, look at me while I'm talking to you. And respond by looking. And then watch the difference in your life. Idleness begins to disappear. Your prayer life and your worship life goes to the next level. Come on, church. You're never alone. Carelessness. Do you know what carelessness does to the soul? It weakens it. Carelessness begins to disappear. We sin less and less. I don't believe that God ever asks of us anything that he does not empower us to do. Let the new Maywood Church, this is what I'm saying, fill our lives with experiencing the presence of God and allow him to take us all to the next level. Father, you're so good. And your love for us is so amazing. We can't thank you enough that your presence is always with us. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Forgive us for the times we've been careless about it. Help us now as we repent that being in your presence becomes our greatest joy. Our greatest delight. And help us to want to not ever again let another day go by without saturating our lives with the experience of your glorious presence. And Father, we are not asking selfishly. We are asking more so that you can use us to be a blessing to others, those around us, and those whom we meet, whose paths we cross, that they might behold your glory as we engage one another, and their hearts would crave and yearn for your presence in them and with them, just because our cross passed. We bless your name. Your name is above every name. We bless your name because you are the Most High God. There's nobody like you. You are our everything. We love you. We adore you. We worship you, God. We belong to you. Help us to live out loud your presence in our lives for your glory alone and in accordance with your divine will and purpose.
Yes.
We ask in the blessed name of Jesus, none other name but Jesus, the sweetest name of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.